Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what's up? Hold on, let's get it started. I'm sorry, we've been talking already, but it's
literally. Y'all start. I'm going to get some weed. I'll be right back.
How are you going to do this now? I'm going to get some weed.
Damn it.
Go ahead. All right, we're going to talk about it. I'm Angela Yee.
I'm Stephanie Santiago.
I'm Kayla Nicole.
I'm Earl Stevens, E40. Oh, yeah. The best that ever did it and got away with it. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Earl and Todd are here with us. I love it. Mm-hmm. I got my Earl Stevens Mango Scotter, and we were E40. We were just talking about your tequila too. Your E40
tequila right here, the best that ever did it. Straight from Jalisco, Mexico.
I'm trying to try that.
Mm-hmm, because we are tequila drinkers in this room. Okay.
Come on.
So tequila.
I drink it smooth, and then I chase it. You know, just with some Pellegrino. You know, it's smooth. It don't need no chase or nothing. It's just. I just prefer some bubbly every once in a while. They go too short right there, too cheesy. Yee!
I didn't do it. Wasn't me.
First of all, I love the fact that y'all, like, just to be as tight as you guys are for how long that y'all been tight, and then to see you guys on Verses together and then to put out the album together. I mean, that is just historic. It's amazing. Y'all had the most expensive Verses in history. It was not a game.
Fire.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, you do know the guy who Swiss got to partner up with him, Apple Music, is a Bay Area dude, right?
I did hear that because one of my friends who was one of the sponsors of it, who works with Ciroc and De Leon, also is from the Bay Area, my girl Ingrid. So she was super hype about it.
I smell favoritism all over that shit.
Larry Jackson took that thing in like it was his baby. He was like, man. This is my soy. I'm finna make you. This got to jump off, man. This is.
You've been knowing Larry since he was a little boy, huh?
He's like 14 at KBL. Like with a deep ass voice. Sounding like Theo from KBL back in the days. Remember Theo? And then Theo moved to LA and did, Before the Real? What was the other one? The Beat? What's the
Theo
Beat?
Was like Filipino, but everybody thought he was black.
Yeah, because he had that deep voice.
Oh, the voice. Like, yes, like the Quiet Storm voice.
Yeah, that's what he had. That was Larry. This is Larry Jackson. He had a deep-ass voice. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Now, let me just say a couple of things. First of all, E40, now Too Short's been on here before, and we had a great time with him, but I would say I did not believe you would ever do lip service. We were talking about it before you got on. I was like, man, E40 ain't doing this. You know, he cool, but he ain't going to be on no damn lip service.
What I do? What happened? But you know I rock with you, Angela. You know, it's all love. You know, so, but I know y'all get a little raunchy. Be cool with me though.
We're respectful. We like to call it respectfully raunchy. Hey,
we'll be on our best behavior. Yeah.
Bro, you got no problem being managed, man. Get out of here, man.
Hey.
Now, Too Short, on the other hand, we have no control over what that man does.
Oh, ain't no limit with him. He's very managed.
I want to be a regular.
No, but I do want to ask you guys, like, as far as checks and balances, because I know y'all in these group texts together, these messages together, like, what are those conversations like that we don't get to be privy to behind the scenes? Like, because y'all, when it comes to relationships, I look at you guys as like opposites, you know, just because E40, you've been locked in for a long time and Too Short, I don't know.
I was hanging out with your granddaddy back in the day. You know?
You're not that old.
So you say in our group conversations, me and Too Short are just the group that we in Mount Westmore.
Yeah, like, but yeah, well, no, I mean like on your text messages. You know how we all have our little friend text group messages where we have all kinds of conversations about things and about life and relationships and situationships and all of that?
We talk a lot of logic, a lot of survival tactics, a lot of chess moves, you know, as far as life. It's like a handbook, like a guidebook to life. I've been calling Earl since the 90s, and it's like, bro, what you got going on? Like, what's, you know? And literally, it gets detailed as far as, like, publicist and PR and fucking, how to break records and shit. And then it get down to, like, manhood, what's a bitch-ass nigga versus a stand-up nigga, and it get down to family shit, like, Earl got a 32-year-old son. I got a 2-year-old daughter. I get a lot of fatherly advice from Earl, you know? All kind of shit.
A 2-year-old daughter.
And we don't text that, but we text, but we texting over songs and, you know, call me. I'll be free in the 15th. Like, we pick up the phone. You know, old school is pick up the phone and shit right quick. You know what I'm saying? Just go at it. But, you know, like I say, me and Ty, we've been cooler than the other side of the pillow for many moons, man. You know, dude was before me, you know, this big bruh. And I pattern, you know, my game after him. Like, when I was a young teenager, my cousin and them used to come down from Oakland to Magazine Street. So they come pull up talking about, man, 40, you ain't up with my partner Todd. They didn't even call me 40 back then because I was only 14, 15 years old. So they called me Earl. Earl, you ain't cousin Earl. You ain't up on my partner Todd. Too Short. I said, well, let me hear it. And so as I grew into my mannishness, because he was very mannish and, you know, hard-headed to cussing, and, like, saying some slick, some, you know, talking about a whole bunch of fucking and all that kind of shit and everything. He's talking about all that shit. But as I became mannish, more mannisher, I'm soaking it up. And it didn't take me about 2-3 weeks to just really soak it all in. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, he's talking about the street life, you know, the East Oakland life. You know what I'm saying? Just it catered throughout the whole Bay Area. And I was like, you know what? I'm a hustler. So this is what I do. I'm going to speak on the hustling side of the game. I'm going to talk about, you know what I'm saying, how to get in and get out. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to talk about how to flip this, how to do this. You know, make sure, you know what I'm saying, never let nobody sit in the back seat when you understand me doing your duties. You know what I'm saying? You know that type of shit. Right?
Y'all from the Bay? Anybody?
Nope. No, I'm from California, though.
But if you notice, when it comes to the Bay, it's always this reoccurring thing. Vallejo niggas, Oakland niggas. Vallejo niggas, Oakland niggas. Vallejo is a small town. Oakland is a small town. But the Bay Area has 50 other fucking cities. And I have no idea why is it Mac Dre is from Vallejo, E-40 is from Vallejo, fucking old school Confunction is from fucking Vallejo.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Sly Stone is from fucking Vallejo. Fucking little young homies, RBE, them niggas is from Vallejo.
Silly Sale.
It's a whole bunch of fucking babies.
Baby Bash. You know what I'm saying? CC Sabathia.
I ain't really dissing like Frisco, because I love Philmo, HP, I love them niggas. I ain't really trying to diss none of the cities in the Bay, San Jose, Richmond, none of them shits. But for some reason, Oakland, MC Hammer,
right,
Rafael Sadiq, fucking, it just goes on and on, fucking forever. I get the name of the shit forever. And it's like, I don't know.
It's so deep.
And then when you break it down to like just general friendships in the Bay, the different cities tend to click together. It ain't really like gangbanging, but certain cities that get along, like East Palo Alto niggas always got along with Frisco niggas. I don't know, Philmo niggas. I don't know what the fuck the connect is, but Oakland niggas and Vallejo niggas have always been on the same fucking page, like really like unified, so to speak. And it's the foundation of our friendship is right. The fact that before rap music, friends of his and family members of his, friends of mine and family members of mine were all friends before we was E-40 and Too Short. So that's the foundation of this shit. Something that got to do with Oakland and Vallejo, a lot of dope dealing back in the day, a whole lot of shit. lot of shit.
That's interesting because I don't know about the different areas in the Bay. Like, I always just, you know, I always hear Oakland, the Bay. I don't know how to, like, break it down like that. And, you know, I've been there a few times, but I can't tell, like, what neighborhood I'm in or who's, like, I don't even
know. It's like Brooklyn niggas rock with Newark niggas, you know what I'm saying? I don't know who rocks with who in New York, but certain city areas from far apart click up to be more powerful. Like
if you was to come to my neighborhood, the Hillside, you're going to see, it's going to be a whole bunch of hills. And it's gonna look like the South. You're gonna see niggas on horses. Riding down the street on everything I love. Smoking a blunt. You feel me? In real life. You're gonna see some goats in the backyard, some chickens raised, some shit like that. That's why we call ourselves Beverly Hills. We hillbillies. We
home. Y'all niggas right around the corner from Napa Valley.
We right around the corner from Napa. That's, you know, you step out of, you go down Sonoma Boulevard all the way, you know, it's a straight through shot. You straight up in Napa, brother.
Vallejo and Napa is the same county, right?
It's the 707. Say it backwards.
Same county, though, right? Same county.
Same. Solano County. Yep, Solano County. You can say Solano County. Yep. Yeah.
Goats and chickens, they doing sacrifices out there. There's voodoo out there.
And where?
There's gotta be.
There ain't no voodoo out there. We don't do
that. I'm just kidding. It was a joke.
Listen, I ain't gonna lie, because they do be having some chickens in Brooklyn, but you know.
Nah,
a lot of people got chickens in Oakland.
My daddy from Mississippi. He don't know nothing about no damn voodoo, and he got chickens. Right. You know, he great. He got garden chickens. The whole thing, like my daddy, because he was raised on a farm. My daddy told him he used to eat 12 eggs a day because he can do that.
But it was probably delicious.
It was unlimited chickens. You know, eggs. You know what I'm saying? So that's being raised here. Mississippi boy came to Vallejo when he was 14 and a half, 15, and macked down my mama. He got
that's
it
a lot of eggs.
He had balling ass E40. You feel what I'm saying? So, but like I say, it's just where I'm at, the Hillside. It's really. Like, it's really country. Like, it's country motherfuckers. But we gamed up. We ain't no suckers. And yes, then we hustlers. And that's the era I grew up on, Magazine Street, you know. And that go all the way from Glen Cove. It's a long-ass street from Glen Cove all the way to South Vallejo, to Suicide. You know what I'm saying?
Now, you know what I wanted to ask you? Because since you guys started off talking about children, first of all, Too Short, you have a 2-year-old. How does that feel?
Man. So, you know, I'm going to tell you the long version. We might have had a conversation about this somewhere along these years, but I spent a lot of my life specifically tuned in doing the things that don't make babies. Like during intercourse, like if it was not protected, I would definitely pull out way early, not even like late early, like way early, and just not even like risk the possibilities. And it's, you know, a lot of safe behavior in there. And then relationship wise, I would get up on the threshold of a relationship and fucking just bolt left, right. Just like, I can't do it. I can't do the love. And the next thing comes is you get so connected. It's like, oh baby, I love you. I love you. And then fucking, you know, kids, you like that. You locked in. So I was always running from being locked in like that.
Commitment issues. Had commitment issues.
On purpose, though. I don't really think it's because it's a commitment issue. It's because I don't want to do it. Is that a difference?
He tried a couple times. Trust me.
Right.
He tried to be dedicated a couple of years, a couple times. But trust me,
I'm on the other side of the fence. Earl married his high school sweetheart. I'm on the other side of the fence.
You went crazy.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's so interesting, the dynamic of how polar opposites that you two are when it comes to relationships.
We're the odd couple.
In so many ways.
Remember that little television show?
Yes.
When I got to 50 years old, you know, I was like in my 40s, all the way through my entire 40s, I was running around acting like some little nigga at every little nigga party. Like, you know, just like...
That's funny because I met you at Chris Brown's house one time. A couple years ago. That's a fact.
Wasn't even that long ago.
Nah, it was years ago. It was a minute ago. It was a long time ago.
I just started letting my guard down on purpose, though. I really just, you know, it wasn't about randomly come running up on chicks going, I'm finna make a baby. It was about coming in contact with the right person and developing a relationship with somebody. I really believe that at this point, I could do this with this person, and I don't have any regrets. I really like it. Like it.
But I'm happy for you. You listen. Last time you came on Lip Service, you did talk about a situation where you thought you might have a baby, and we had a whole.
Oh, that wasn't my baby. That last one wasn't mine. That was totally not mine. She was sending me belly pictures. That was not my kid. She called my dad on and said, "My bad."
Not my bad.
My bad.
It was my bad-ish. It was just like
an abortion situation that happened you told us about.
About what?
An abortion situation that you told us about.
Well, I went through a few of those as a young guy, yeah. Up until the age of 27, I was real reckless. I went through a couple of relationships where, you know, there was a miscarriage, there was an abortion. And all the way to the end, like the very last abortion, like probably out of three, really fucked me up in the head. And it was the reason why I no longer had sex the way I was having it. I just kind of like changed my whole stilo. That's right when I moved to Atlanta. And it was like, man, I'm just not, for one, I'm getting a little older and I'm not as irresponsible as I was in my young 20s. And then for two, that experience of really like seeing abortion up close. I was in the room. I was with my chick when we made the decision, when it happened, and then how it affected her after. And just seeing that in with a more mature mind, just kind of like, I didn't want to be in that position. I didn't want to put anybody in that position. I'm like, I'm not going there. And my entire time living in Atlanta, Georgia, super sexually active, nobody ever called me and said, I'm pregnant by you. Mm-hmm. Or came to me and said that. I never got that. I was totally on my game. And even when I moved back to Cali, I lived in Vegas. I mean, I've been out there, but I was not trying to make babies. And this, I think the game, y'all might not believe in the game like I do, but the game gave me this daughter, brought this little girl in my life. It's like,
is that why you had a daughter?
The game did that, man.
You know, I know.
Sure.
You an old player. The game's not going to give you a little boy and make him a young player. The game is like, nope, give me a daughter.
Daughters, brother.
And that's your first baby? I've been
built into the world of guys with daughters, even watching my only sister run my daddy, who I never seen nobody run my daddy. And now I'm like, all these daughters, I'm hearing these stories, fat jokes. I'm his daughter's his boss. I'm like, what the fuck am I getting into?
Nacho, my parents crazy. I'm not lying. I turned out all right, but when I was younger, I was, you know, you're going to have some work cut out for you.
Man. Are you scared? Are you nervous to raise a baby girl?
No. I just think it's all the balance of the game. Like, you want to be too short, this is what you get. You know what I'm saying? You want to run from her, give you this. She's a feisty little girl, too. Like, I already see it coming. But you know what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to embrace it.
Yes.
And I'm going to give her all that love I ran away with. Mm. I'm going to give it all to her, all that spoiling I didn't do of ex girlfriends. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to give it all to her.
That's dope. Too soft. Mm.
It's women's women's
too short, too soft.
It's cool though.
Yeah, it's good. You're supposed to be soft when it comes to your daughter. Now for you, E-40, you married your high school sweetheart. You think that kept you out of a lot of trouble in this business?
Yeah, because we was living off of love. Like, you know, I had my ups and downs. I wasn't always wealthy rich. I wasn't always like that. I was hood rich. But at the same time, I had my ups and downs in that too. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, when I, at the beginning, it was like, of course, you know, I'm just a young man, and I see this beautiful girl, and I was in band. I played drums in band. I always been involved in music. So from the fourth grade all the way to the 12th grade, I played drums because that was the only thing back in. You gotta realize I might not look like it, or I might, but I graduated in 1985. I was 17. You know what I'm saying? So I see this young lady, she in band as well, and she you know, she playing the clarinet, and we having band reviews. So my cousin B Legit went to the same school she went to in high school. So one day I was like, I always liked her since junior high, because she used to be with one of her good friends of ours that went to church. That my granddaddy was a preacher. So when we was kids, it was one of our friends that was her friend. And I'm like, oh, she always with Tiffany. That's our folks, you know. And I'm like, okay. But I say, this girl right here, she's a beautiful lady, and I'm a half at her. You know what I'm saying? And so I told Be Legit, I say, man, tell homegirl I like her blood. You know what I'm saying?
So cute, by the way. Okay.
So cute.
Thank you. So, you know, we you know, and you're right. To answer your question, seriously, because I'm not going to try to act like I'm super hardcore, this killing nigga, but I was a street. I'm a street nigga, and my heart and my spirit is on Magazine Street in the hillside in Vallejo. I might stay in the suburbs now, but, you know, you can't take the ghetto out the nigga. You know what I'm saying? You might take a nigga out the ghetto, but not the ghetto out the nigga, and I'm a nigga. You know what I'm about? So here, just to say this, nah, man, she definitely kept me out of trouble because I had a good girl, and I ain't no dummy. Like, I can draw pretty good, so I always say, you look like somebody drew you. You know what I'm saying? That's how I say, you so beautiful, you look like somebody drew you. That's my partner Pizzo used to always tell me, my old school DJ Pizzo short. He used to always say, man, that baby, he'll say that about any girl.
You told me one day, Earl, we was playing dominoes, we was doing a show, and I was about to, I was getting tired of the domino game. I was about to go chase some bras and go after partying or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, I wouldn't fuck with these bitches out here, man. I might say what's up to a bitch. You might not even be saying bitch, but whatever it was, he was like, nigga, I ain't fucking. I remember I left out the room. I said, this nigga Earl's crazy.
I'm cool because I like, okay, check this out. I had this beautiful lady, my queen, have been playing around on me or something like that. I've been, you understand me, moving around and different and shit like that and causing me problems in my life and shit like that. She would have been 86th. You know what I'm saying? I'd be just like Too Short, a fucking dog ass hoe. Because I'm a Scorpio and I love crevice. I'm going to keep it 1,000 while with you.
I'm not a Scorpio.
I'm a Scorpio too.
I'm a Scorpio, oh, yeah. So don't think I don't like, I love it. I just got my, this is a wonderful woman that I don't want to ever leave. You know what I mean? She feels mutual about the situation. And if it wasn't for her, I would probably won't be where I'm at. I'm going to keep it 1,000 while because she kept me grounded. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the house writing raps. My brother and them, they always say it. They say, man, we all, you know, we was hard-headed. You know what I'm saying? We sitting around chasing that crevice, and we should have been, you understand me? We should have been in there writing raps and concentrating on our business like you. That's why you bypassed us, and that's why you the nigga. You know, they always tell me that.
Even dudes, you know, like me, man, we realize after the fact that we let the good ones get away, man.
Because I feel like now it's like cool in hip hop to be in a relationship, but there was a period of time when it wasn't cool. Like, they'll be like, if you're an artist, you got to act like you're single. Cause then you know,
it's cool now because your chick and you could be on Love and Hip Hop and get a bag together, or you could be like, you know, once you make her your chick, and her numbers run up just like your numbers run up. So it's lightweight pimping shit going on.
That's a hustle, yeah. It's a hustle.
Lightweight pimping.
It's a hustle.
So now, you know, I figure, you know,
Hope ends is pimping. The girl in it now.
When they find out that I'm married, like, people be like, if I post a picture with me and wifey, you know what I'm saying? They'd be like, damn, I didn't know he was married. You know what I'm saying? Because the way I rap raunchy. I rap just nasty as this nigga. Like, if this nigga short, I say some nasty shit. I say hard-headed shit. You know, but you got to always remember that I am a storyteller. I'm an artist. And that's what we do. We deliver. I'm the curb commentator. You understand me? This is the block brochure right here. This is the Hustler's Handbook. This is me. This is I scream it like I mean it. I'm talking for other people. You understand me? I'm painting that picture.
But are you as nasty as you are in your raps in real life with your wife?
I told you I'm a Scorpio.
Okay.
It's like enough said. That's all you got to say.
Scorpio, man. I love Crevice.
I'll stop you on the phone when that nigga said, you niggas, I look for that pussy nigga. He said, y'all, I look for pussy nigga. I just go up the hallway.
That's it.
I say you
niggas be on the prowl. Y'all niggas be on the prowl every night, nigga. I can just go right down the hallway and walk up the steps, nigga, and I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
And I ain't got to worry about no other shit. I ain't got to worry about no motherfucking venereal diseases. I ain't got to worry about a bitch trying to get me for my Rolex or my, you know what I'm saying, my AP. None of that.
Robbed.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's benefits to this shit, man. You know?
Now, Too Short, were you ever a bad influence? Like, come on, man.
I'm the guy. I'm not gonna say Earl can't be influenced. He's always been a boss. But I'm the guy who, at first, you tell your chick, I'm about to bust some moves with Short. They doing things, I'm busting moves, been busting moves. All right, go out, have fun with Short. Then I end up being the guy when you say to your chick, I'm about to bust moves with Short, she get hella mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come back from busting moves with Short, it's all fucked up. Like the wise people roll their eyes at me and shit. I'm the guy who gets you out
friend.
The house at first, and you get shit like Too Short ain't gonna fucking Too Short ain't gonna have no motherfucking home for you to come home to.
So was that the issue? E-40 was your I don't really want you hanging out with him like that, because you know.
Oh no, she never, because she trusts me. She know. I ain't gonna
sometimes you don't even do nothing. You just be in the wrong place. You know what I'm saying?
We don't go meet up somewhere and then go hit restaurants and clubs. We don't move like that. We move like our crews like move together when it's like a money play, which is a lot of times we do so many fucking shows.
Like if we in Vegas, if we'll be in Detroit, we in Vegas, wherever we at, we all move together. We all one. It's Oakland, it's Vallejo. We you know what I'm saying? That's how we roll.
We've been doing this shit a lot, though. Go back and see how many shows Too Short and E-40 was on the same
deal. You can't even count that.
I'll be like, Too Short. I say, nigga, you need to headline this, nigga. Because we be going back, like some shows I headline. So I'm here headline. Me and him don't give a fuck about headlining.
This is what the little niggas need to learn as they go along. So I partner up with a dude like E-40. This dude's my local competition, not just local, just we on the same label, but we confide in each other like advice, criticisms, everything. But in the long run, when you look back at it as we speak, when money comes into play, I could be somewhere getting ready to get about 20 racks. I say, you want to give me an E-40? Now the shit just went up to another 10 in my pocket because it's both of us. And the whole shit gets bigger. So right. We go get a bigger bag when we together. And on top of that, so many motherfuckers call my line that say, I want to do something with you. Can I get E-40 too? Bam. Vice versa. And
we would get money together for many years.
This nigga 40 be throwing a nigga like $25,000 passes, like nigga. Thanks.
Just recently.
Now that's a friendship, okay? When we get money together.
What's up, Ange? Can you throw me the $25,000 pass? Nah, Ange, you throwing me some pass. Got it fucked up.
It's like a bag that comes your way that you really don't want, so you shoot it down to your folks. It might be timing. You might be double booked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might just not want to do it. Be like, my nigga might want to do it. I'm like, shit, yeah, I want to do it.
Come on.
Right. All my friends is useful. That's what I'm talking about. So the Mount Westmore album, let's talk about that and how that even came about and how that's happening. Tell us a little bit of inside scoop.
Where do you start that shit?
Yeah, so here it is. So I was talking to my manager. So my manager, he was 15 and a half when I stayed in the Rancho Solano. And out there in Fairfield, I had a house in the suburbs, golf course, you know, gated community, all that shit in like 92, 93, right? And so his dad stayed in that neighborhood. So I would see him slide past in a Lexus. I had a turquoise Lexus 300 at that time. It was brand spanking new, fresh off the whole world. That was the shit back then, you know what I'm saying? And so he had one, but he had a Lexus 300. I had a Lexus 400. And so I say, who this little nigga passing by my house, right? You know what I'm saying? He like Mexican and white mix, right? And so I'm like, who this little nigga? But see, I've seen him before because he used to be with my folks, Mike Mosley and Jens Demi. He used to work at the Funky Chicken, which is a local record store. And he knew all my partners. He knew Almost High, my nigga RIP Almost High. So anyway, make a long story short, fast forward, and this dude would always show up at places, you know, a big fan. Him and a couple more of my folks, they'll pop up. And just observe the game. So RJ was real short. You might not notice RJ, you can't get him to stop talking now, but that nigga used to be quiet as hell. He was like a fly on the wall and just peeping the game. So he learned the game. So later on in life, you know what I'm saying? My old manager, which is a big bro, I still love him, Chaz Hayes, he had other things he was getting into. So RJ just became like a role manager. Then he became my full-fledged manager. He started learning this shit. So as of recently, he had came up, we were just chopping it up early in the morning, and he was like, man, you might as well, you know what you might as well do? You might as well, you, Snoop, Cube, and Short, y'all probably need to just put a group together. I say, nigga, a light bulb popped in my head. I'm like, nigga, that's it right there, nigga. Hell yeah. So then I call, I say, let me, I say, all right. I say, Art Jizzle, I'm going to call Cube first. Cause you know, Cube, you know, he the stubborn one, you know, out of all of us. Right. So I say, let me call Cube. Right. So I called Cube. Cube was like, hell yeah. You know, Cube crazy. He just, hell yeah. He just, then we was thinking of his name. I'm like, what name? And then he just Mount Westmore.
He just came up and then
like
on
the top. Yeah, up top. He just yelled out Mount Westmore.
Ice Cube to smile. You're good.
We get him to smile. That's our folks. It's all good.
Move, but he still won't smile.
Yep.
About it now, I can't recall him smiling.
He'd be dead ass serious. We be talking business. That nigga be dead ass serious.
Let me Google Ice Cube smiling and see if anything.
They're gonna see too many smiles.
You can see him smiling now because he's a big actor, and you know there's probably pictures of it, you know, in the press.
Let me see. Yeah,
but I can see him being real serious in business.
Yeah, he be serious about the business.
Yeah,
he be serious about the business. So,
oh my god, it's so funny because it's on Pinterest. Look at this; it's a smiling Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah.
From a movie.
That's what I'm saying. Sure, it's from a movie. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That family Christmas movie or whatever.
You know, red trip. Carpet and shit. Yeah.
And so then, so I call Short, and then I think me and you call Snoop. I just we call him on three-way.
Y'all both was on the phone.
Okay, me and Cube call Short.
Yeah.
And he was with it. Me and Cube call Short on three-way, and then I believe we put Snoop on the phone, and then. It was born.
Started a group text, and Snoop said he'd been saving the transcript. My phone crashed halfway through the group text. I had to start all over.
Yeah,
that shit reads like a motherfucking movie. The group text it goes through a lot of phases, but
because we on there talking and we on there sending, like when Snoop talk, I don't know if y'all know how Snoop get down. He sent a video of him talking to you. He'd be like, nigga, he'll make a videotape of himself, and he'll say,
right, a video message. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll say, man.
You text him, he video back.
And then I do it too. I chime in. I might be in my bed. You can see, just see the headband, the board, and I'm in that motherfucker, no glasses on, just like, yeah, nigga, that's just slap. You know, we just be showing
real life. Middle of the night ideas and shit, man. You know what I'm thinking,
wow.
Man? Run that shit.
He'll be in there to take care of his daughter, have her in his hand. You know, we just showing all that shit, and we just chopping it up. You know?
Yeah, that's a good idea, because for a documentary, if y'all just sending videos back and forth, and then when you do the documentary, you able to have some of that.
You guys got clips. That's hard.
Once we got the shit going down, once it was like solid and everything was going down, and we started actually recording music, which was happening really, really fucking fast because everybody only got to do one verse. It was making a song every day, more than a song a day. And then it was never really like, oh, let's be a group. Let's put out an album. Let's make a motherfucking put together a tour. It was never that. From day one, it was like, let's join forces and start like a bunch of businesses. How many businesses could you start if all four of us was an entity? Right. Don't got nothing to do with the other thing you got going on. What can we do? And that's where this shit started. And the shit, like, we ain't even put a record out yet. And then it's so much in the kitty already. I'm like it's amazing. I really don't want to do this for me. I don't know what everybody else's motivation is. I just want to do this for another fucking hip hop story of
another chapter
in our way. Do this shit your way without a fucking label or a fucking puppet. Owning you and that, and just one of these fucking hip hop stories that is just, you could take the model and somebody else could use the same model and be the same successful. That part.
And but, so, you know, we do got plans for this shit. We do. When outside open up, just imagine the arenas. You understand me? That, you know, we are packed the motherfuckers, just us four. Period. Just us four for sure. You know. Whether whoever opened me, if I'm open, I don't mind. I'm topping it. I opened up and I had that motherfucker popping.
Right.
I got slaps. I got slaps. This old nigga got slaps. You feel me? Like, yeah. I'm going. You know?
Instead of coming, okay, look, we do a bunch of shows together.
Oh, and them dance moves, man.
Yes.
But we might put together a show. We just do a show. It's just one long ass show. You come out and see us, and the fucking show just be a 3-hour show nonstop.
No, but look, Wendy, it could be great for festivals, like especially because it, when it's festival season and things are open back up.
Yes.
Festival, and that's the big money too. The festival dates.
Coachella, Rolling Loud. Mm-hmm. Y'all gotta hear all that.
I'm tired of clubs. I paid my dues for years. I'm tired of hole in the wall clubs. I ain't trying to act big headed. I work my way up to the top. I don't know when the last time I did a club. I'm talking about. I don't recall. I'm just cool. I'm just cool on that shit. It's nerve wracking. It's just I'm cool. I need to be in a ring. I need a green room. I need my own.
I need a green room.
You know what I'm saying? I need the whole woo-wop. I'm done with all that shit, man.
No, but you deserve it. You deserve it.
You've been many deserve it.
And after you during this pandemic, I do not miss a club. I'm not going to lie.
I don't either.
Have you gone
out? Nerve-wracking.
They're open. Some of them are open. Have you gone out, Edge, to the club?
No, I have not been to a club at all. I don't mind a lounge or a restaurant, but I don't really care about going to a club.
Let me tell you what clubs did. Let me tell you about a club. Let me tell you what clubs did to me. It became from used to be so fun in the VIP, kicking it with your folks, to my nigga, foes me, my nigga, to the hell of other niggas just trying to get in the VIP, crowd your shit up.
Yeah.
Now you like this, and if you say, my nigga is full in here, then you got a problem with a nigga outside.
I've been saying that for a long time. The VIP be more crowded than the regular, the regular parts.
Yeah.
I've been saying that all the time.
Yeah, don't nobody dance no more anyway. Everybody just, it's all for the gram, and all they do is the elbow dance, and you know, and all that. That's it. That's it. No more. That's it.
The game was all good until we
take your pictures
to the phones. The phones fucked it up.
And let me tell you something. So when I've been going to I go to a lot of comedy shows. As a matter of fact, when you guys were doing the verses, I was in Austin at Dave Chappelle's comedy show, and we were actually watching it backstage, like in between the comedians, because it went on and on and on. And so we was backstage every time we could, like, get a chance, like being like, okay, what's happening now? What's happening now? Watching the versus battle. But you can't really have your phones out at comedy shows. You know how they make you, like, zip it up?
They make you
stuff like that. And so you'd be like, damn, what am I doing now? I guess I got to, like, pay attention. I guess I got to have a good time with the people I'm with and not be using my phone.
Be present.
That's like my favorite part about going to a comedy show. They make you put your phone away. Yeah. So you're not looking at it through the phone. Everybody wants to look at concerts through their camera lens now. I think it's so weird.
I love hanging out. I reminisced on the days when dudes were not allowed to take selfies. They weren't allowed. It was just my only thing. And then dudes was all the way off limits for ever walking up to another dude and say, hey man, let's take a picture together.
Oh my God.
Even if you was like, if you was bold enough to say, take a picture with me, somebody else better take it. Now niggas is like, stand by me while I hold my phone.
Yeah.
These are against the rules, nigga.
But you know what? They don't even ask you. They
walk up the line
with the phone, won't even ask you, and then just start filming you like, yo, say what's up.
Oh, I hate that shit. I hate when motherfuckers just around, and you know, It's been times I've been around people been around me and they just flip their phone out and just start going live. I'm like, I ain't got nothing to hide, my nigga. But you know what I mean? I might have to blow my nose or something. Motherfucker might think they get me blowing my nose. You understand me? Thinking I'm on blow or something. Like I fuck.
What's worse? If the motherfucker just go live. Which one is worse, Earl? If they just go live on you, or if you look over it? And it's that little one person that you don't even know. They got the sneaky
filming you, sneaky.
Oh yeah, but hey, both of them worse.
That's worse.
I think the worst film. The sneaky film is crazy.
They do that shit all the time at the airport and shit. They can't let his hair down. I ain't got no hair, but they can't let your hair down. You can't relax no more. You can't be human. I'm like, man, fuck all these motherfuckers. Man, I'm gonna be human. I'm gonna be me. It is what it is, nigga. If I gotta scratch my back, if my back itching, nigga, I'm gonna get up against the edge of a door or something. And I'm gonna go like this, nigga. I'm human, nigga. You feel me? It is.
Everything you do look like a dance move. I like it.
You like that?
The yeah, back you scratch? Saw it? Hey, the back scratch.
The back scratch.
Angela's crazy.
Angela over there on that motherfucking mango schiznato.
That's what it is. She's so
lit. I asked you, I said, is it strong?
Yeah, the mango schiznato is stronger than your average. Moscato, okay?
There you go. Right. There you go.
The homegirl said she drank it one night at the glasses and was drunk.
It's the secret sauce. Drunk. It's like it's kinda like with you know the Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe? that's what mango moscato is. Ain't nothing like it on this earth. Hello.
What is this? 16 different seasonings?
Hey, mine got different all kind of different properties and components in it, man. You feel me?
If
I tell you the recipe, man, I gotta kill you, man. You feel me?
Did anybody see that Colonel Sanders Lifetime thing that looked crazy? Did you see that?
No. He's like the murderer or whatever. Or someone's gonna kill him?
I don't know.
What? I want to see that.
He's like the chef. Mario Lopez,
I'm
right?
So interested.
Yes, it was the strangest thing. I don't know what it was about, but it was like the strangest thing I've ever seen. So,
talking about the real Colonel Sanders or the white Colonel Sanders?
The white Colonel Sanders. Hold on, let me see.
The Kentucky Fried Chicken shit. It's
a black woman somewhere in the background that made that recipe.
Man, you know that family.
I like KFC. Everybody be hyping Popeyes. I still like KFC too.
I fuck with KFC. When it's done right, I fuck with KFC.
Exactly. A good KFC restaurant is banging.
No, yes. Restaurant.
Nah, they got them. They got like the real KFCs. You know it's a bad KFC when it's like half KFC, half Taco Bell.
Yeah.
That's no good.
They got a new KFC manager.
I used to fuck with person. Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's what I fuck with.
Right. Yeah, that's
when,
right.
When they drop the words, I'm like, I didn't even know.
That's what
they abbreviated
about
that.
They're not allowed to say
chicken. They're not allowed to say chicken. Not really chicken.
The apple pies is unmatched. Can't nobody fuck with the apple pies.
That's the rumor, Angela.
I'm going to want KFC. Fuck.
They have to drop it.
Damn it.
Y'all don't know what y'all eating, okay? I just want to say that. Let me ask you guys.
Are you a vegan? You a vegan, huh, Angela?
No, I'm not.
You eat birds?
Yeah, sometimes.
He eats chicken.
Fish ain't no vegan.
Only turkeys and chicken.
I call myself, you know, I'm the goon with the spoon, right? I ain't even post this shit because I don't feel like hearing motherfuckers, man, 40, man, you know, you ain't supposed to be eating no pork, but I call myself living my childhood.
I love pork. I don't care.
Me too, man. I made some motherfucking pig feet the other day, bro.
Oh,
I ain't gonna even lie. Check this out. I did it. But I ate it, and it was hella good. I only had like probably about three little woo-wops.
Not like, it looked like feet.
Not that much, right? But look, check gang. The rest of it, I threw it out because I'm like, because don't nobody in my house eat pork. You know what I'm saying?
It looked like a foot, though?
Huh?
It looked like a foot?
Yeah,
what do you eat?
I had them chop it up in, you know, pieces like that.
I had to butcher.
Yeah, and I wasn't like that. I had to butcher, you know, chop it up. So look, check game. The thing is, I grew up on that. I grew up on motherfucking oxtails and, you understand me, neck bones and, you know what I'm saying, turkey.
I ain't never had chitlins, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, I had chitlins. I grew up with chitlins, a lot of soil motherfuckers grew up. You ain't that soil, though, nigga. You uppity soil, nigga, because I'm soil, nigga.
I'm from the dirt, bro. What you talking about, nigga?
All the niggas that don't eat chitlins, nigga, they ain't super soil, nigga. Check this out. Nigga, I'm super soil.
I didn't come from a chitlin household, nigga.
Okay, say that. Okay, there you go.
I come from a mama who grew up eating chitlins, who despised it and was like, I'll never let my kids eat this. That's
chitlins, you know, stink, okay? They stink.
Well, my mama made me some last year, and I fucked them motherfuckers up. Hello?
My mama was a little girl who had to eat chitlins and didn't like it. And she was like, I ain't never feed my kids this.
So you know the story. So you know the slave masters used to make motherfuckers eat the scratch from the pig. Yes, Jimmy. Later on, that shit became a delicacy. They fucked up. They made that shit a delicacy. Chitlins, every part from the rooter to the tootie. You ever heard of that?
Yes.
They eat every part of the motherfucking pig. Every part. The tails, nigga, the ears.
I don't like the feet, but I like the chop.
I'm not eating no Gouda's.
You eat pork chops? What about pork chops?
I love it. I love me some pork chops. I make them good, too. I make some good
pork chops. What about bacon?
Chops.
Don't tell me y'all don't fuck
I
with bacon.
I love bacon.
No, that's different.
I'm right
now. Hey, spicy is different.
So I like pulled pork,
I would never stop eating pepperoni pizza.
Ugh. I'm from New York, and I think that's a real New York thing. Like, a lot of people in New York don't eat pork. I grew up not eating pork, and then I worked for Wu-Tang, and Wu-Tang, they do not play that pork stuff. They don't even have food that has no type of pork products to make the food. They used to be
a lot of East Coast, you know, and a lot of my Muslims and everything. And I one of my rhymes, I say, nothing against the Muslims, but I was raised eating swine. You know, I said some shit like that, you know, on one of my rhymes back in the days, but I understand. And, you know, pork ain't good for you because, you know, the shit can't sweat. It don't got nowhere to you know, it doesn't have nothing to waste. The waste don't go nowhere. It stays in you. But why is that shit so fucking good? Because it's in our genetics. We ate it. We had to eat it. Our ancestors ate that shit. The slave masters ate it. That's all we had to eat.
And everything in moderation. Everything in moderation.
But I would tell you, I did a fast. And when you do a fast, I fasted for 2 weeks. I didn't eat nothing. All I had was, they gave me these drops that had vitamins in it. And then I had coconut water and regular water. That was all I could have for 2 weeks. When I tell you, that would change your whole entire taste buds. So that certain things just taste like I can't eat that anymore. Because it really makes you feel like I couldn't drink soda anymore after that. Like, there was a lot of things. I love desserts. It made me stop eating certain things. It made me eat less. A lot of times our life is centered around food. Like, where are we going to eat? Let's go grab a bite to eat. And
I agree.
It did really, really help me a lot as far as, like, discerning what wasn't so good for me. And some things just tasted like, why did I eat this? It was too strong. And it helps, like, reset your whole entire, like, system. And it gives your body a chance to stop having to break down food. So it lets it get strong again because your body's always working to break down all this food that you have. So it really helped me a lot. But let me tell you.
So, you know, I drink a lot of cold-pressed juices. You know, kale, spinach, broccoli, carrots. Mm-hmm. You understand me, lemon, apple, all of them, you know what I'm saying? They got them, you know, they got the ones right now, you know, it's cold pressed. They got, you can do it with you can break it down your own self, you know, and all that shit with the bullet and, you know, all of the blenders they got now. But also, but at the same time, and you're absolutely right, because I have fast a couple of days and I like to eat, man. I'm a meat connoisseur. It don't have to be pork. I don't even eat pork. Like, I eat bacon probably six times out of the year. It's like the smell of bacon. You can be full as a motherfucker. You could just ate a nice, good meal, a powerful meal. You smell that damn bacon, 10 minutes later, you're going to want to eat again. Eat that bacon.
Yeah, but the smell of chitlins is not the same. It's not.
Oh, no. Chitlins ain't. I don't even eat chitlins like I used to. Like, I used to eat at least.
You lost me on that.
I eat chitlins once a year when it's done right. If it's done right. But I ain't been fucking with it.
I know y'all got I want to leave you guys with this. When we talk about diet and food, trust me, whatever you put in your body comes back out, and guys taste way better when they be having vegetables and fruit.
Pineapple. I agree.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want no chitlin dick, okay? I don't want to taste KFC. I don't want to taste no bacon cum.
Hey, there's some females out there. There's some females out there. That nigga, I'm at Papa Do's. I was in Papa Do's, and I'm at the bar. I like to sit at the bar so I can see everything. I like to sit right at the bar so I don't have to have motherfuckers bringing my drinks. I had a bartender make it right there in front of me, the whole woo-wah. So it was a young lady. She sat right by me. She was from out there. I think I was in Houston. She ordered. She put her little order in. Next thing you know, it's a plate of frog legs, right? Check this out. Fried frog legs. And she was over there fucking them motherfuckers up every bit of it to the bone. She wasn't no slob ass broad or none of that shit. She was just like a regular broad, just cool. And she was minding her business. She fucked them motherfuckers up because she was raised that way. You know, I don't fuck with chitlins like that. Like, I probably ate chitlins in the last motherfucker 15 years, probably 3 or 4 times. Out of 15 years.
Frog legs like that?
Huh?
You eat frog legs like that?
I never ate frog legs in my life. She was fucking it up. Now, I did eat fried alligator at Papa Do's. And it tastes like lobster.
I didn't have grilled alligator right off the grill, right off the fucking water.
Yeah, I never had that. I had fried alligator at Papa Do's.
Now, Tusho, you can be with me this. I know E-40 can't agree to this, but you can't admit sometimes women taste different depending on what they eat. You could taste it.
I didn't know it was diet, though. I just thought it was bad choices.
It is bad choices.
You are literally what you eat. Literally.
You are. I believe that you are what you eat.
Even when you sweat, sometimes people sweat and they sweat be funkier because of the stuff that eat. You know what I'm saying? So I just think about that. If it's like that coming out. Just
I think it's like mango scotto.
Mango scotto tastes amazing.
Mm-hmm. I promise you.
Well, listen, yo.
I've always been on a nice, balanced diet of good food, good energy, as well as good company around you and, you know, just the beautiful things of nature. I'm into this other thing about the flow of the energy and kind of, you know, not really thinking about the time and, oh, time's getting away. I'm getting older. I'm just feeling the same way I felt yesterday, last week, and before. Just, you know.
And let me tell y'all something about Too Short. We went to Okinawa, Japan. Where was we at?
Okinawa.
Yeah, we was out there, right? So this nigga Too Short, right? Don't let this nigga fool you, man. Hey, we look, check out. We on the military base. We stayed on the military base. Spotless. Mm-hmm. Military, that shit, the rooms were spotless, everything. The whole city, spotless, everything. That man, they was out there doing the exercises and shit. That nigga did some shit with the pole, and then his legs, here go the pole, and then his legs was up. You know the shit Nick Cannon be doing?
Like a bar, like an exercise bar.
He was doing it with the military guys. Exercising. Okay. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker, like, short legs. Here's the bar. Short legs is out like the shit Nick Cannon. Yeah, like Nick Cannon be doing. That I say, leg lift.
Yo, the military was doing the exercise. I just jumped up there and did like 10 of what they was doing. But
You athletic.
Wake up in the morning and do push-ups. Don't let him fool you. You can see it. Look at his arms.
I was a little nigga. I was 5'2 when I was 18. I was 5'2 on my 19th birthday. I'm like 5'8 now.
I'm like, how much? I'll tell you now.
I'm like 5'8. I grew right after my 19th birthday. But I was always a little strong ass nigga though.
You had a growing
strong ass nigga.
That's funny. But
hey, look, I don't know if I told you this before, but if any part of me was like Too Short, I would not let anybody call me that.
Right. Mm. Okay.
Like I would have fought to the death. I would have whooped everybody ass who said, yo, Too Short. I'd have been fighting words.
Yeah.
If it applied to anything offensive.
You had to embrace it.
Yeah, I was just a little ass nigga. It was a nigga named Shorty that went to my high school, and the nigga was taller than me.
Did you have to line up by height and you was always first?
Hey, my name was Short. They call him Shorty and they just called me Short. They say, we can't even come up with a name for you, nigga. You're shorter than Shorty.
Do you date women that are taller than you?
Huh?
Will you date women that are taller than you?
Man, I love women. What are you talking about? I'm like,
so you don't care?
We all the same.
That's an issue for some short guys.
You ain't seen it all.
We all the same height and laying sideways.
That's not true.
Definitely not
true. And I'm 5'10". The only reason I'm saying this is I'm 5'10". So if you smaller than me, we go 10 when we lay down.
I dated a stripper.
I'm gonna be at the end of the bed.
I dated a stripper in Las Vegas who was the tallest girl in her club. She was literally like 6'4" on heels by like 6 foot. Like she was just solid, just hella taller than me.
Okay.
And
so that you can't even do a 69.
It was like an awkward moment, but then I figured out all this little shit. Like I had this little booster thing because she was like taller. I used to get like this little it was like a little stool I had in the room.
Yes.
And I would get up on that stool and it would be just the right plant. She was like, little nigga, you get down.
You do what you gotta do.
Okay.
See, that's different. That's different though, because some people, they don't know their boundaries. They don't know that they need to, you know, let's add some equipment into this. Let's make this a little more equal.
I think that if making love is like a fucking job, Like, I'm like, nigga, this is, I'm pushing.
It's exhausting.
I'm working up in this motherfucker. I don't know what, it could be a lot of elements that make it work too, not just,
right,
just the size of a woman. A woman could be like wanting you to do something special, put me right here and hold it right there. You're like, this is like fucking like yoga or some shit.
A workout. And, we were just talking about that.
So and then she's like, I'm almost there. You like trying to hold this shit you can't hold. I can't hold it no more. So, you know,
she'd be standing up. She'd just be standing up and you just stand there and eat her out.
What? The Moscato is talking.
Yeah,
she's standing up.
You know, that mango, the mango would make you want to tango.
That Earl Stevens.
Earl Stevens mango Moscato, man.
Right.
Hey, Angela know about me. She don't know about me personally, but I know some references.
I know some reference tracks.
I got a couple
reference tracks.
Grown ass women, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Don't
but
say no names.
I'm not. I would never. You know. I'm not gonna let everybody know who you dogged out.
Damn.
Never that.
I know so many stories about this guy.
I've always been like, I never have to like wash my back at 7-Eleven. I'm always good.
Well, they tell me you guys have to go, but we could go on and talk forever. So I hope one day we do this in person. Like, we will come out there and do this with the audience. You know what I'm saying? I would love for us to be able
yes.
to. I know you got your podcast too. I know you guys got a lot of always working, and I appreciate that. And maybe we could do something with some E40 and some, you know what I mean? And just sit down and chat.
We'll go to Napa. Let's take a trip to Napa.
You I love Napa.
Yeah, and then let's do the podcast there. We can do everything there.
Or we can just say, fuck it, and meet us in Atlanta and turn all the way the fuck up.
No.
I'm not going to Atlanta, buddy.
You have right a fucking you are a father. That's over, okay?
Go all the way away.
Quiet.
We're going to Atlanta for Martin Luther King birthday.
Are you really?
No, Atlanta. Do you get the connection?
Sure, everywhere. I'm cool. I'm shelter in place.
You gotta go see Dave Chappelle in Austin. You could go do that. They COVID test and everything.
Did you see that text I sent you? Did you see the text I sent you?
Yes, E40. I saw it. You with Dave Chappelle.
You sent me a text.
40 sent me that shit.
Three versions.
Oh, yeah, that's my twin. That's Dave Chappelle. Y'all twins. That's your boy.
Okay, we're buying Dave Chappelle. <and Stewart>. All right, well, we appreciate you guys so much. I know we could have talked about way more, and we are going to do it again. E40, thanks for joining us, because I know, you know, before they were like, he ain't really going to do that, but, you know, next time we
put it.
Just know that I'm a Scorpio. Hello.
Hello.
Right on, y'all.
Much all right, bye, y'all. Guys. Thank
Happy
you
New
so
Year.
Much.
Coming out. Do we have a date?
It's coming. Watch. Don't even worry about it. It's coming in full force.
And we got hella songs. Hella songs. We got enough for three albums right now. Hello.
We got a high-powered New York lawyer. We got motherfucking PR firms. Fucking
we got liquor in place. We got alcohol in place. All that shit. Mount Westmore, baby. Stay tuned.
Is Tony Draper our manager?
Tony Draper, that's our guy. Oh, he's one of our go-to guys.
Tony Draper, that's dope. Like,
we put together a couple little
legendary. Legendary.
Well, you guys are legendary, and we appreciate it. It's always a pleasure, and we got to make sure we keep, you know, keeping up with each other and doing this. I can't wait to hear the music, hear the album. So keep me updated.
I'm gonna send you some mango scotto. Okay, you gonna get it to everybody? Are y'all all?
Yes,
in LA?
I want it very bad.
Are you in LA? Or where y'all at?
You send it to
New Jersey.
Our producer.
Okay, y'all spread the word. I'm gonna get it to y'all, and you let them know. Hey, don't think this is no sucker shit. This that shit right here. This that mango scotto.
This that Scorpio thing. Okay?
It's that Scorpio thing. Okay.
Okay.
Hello.
I'm in LA too, and I got my stepladder over here.
Oh shit! You hear short?
I just picture him in the bar in the room flipping up and doing all kind of shit now. I just
it's my turn to sign off now. I love y'all. Take it easy.
All right. Bye, guys. Bye, guys.